Hello, everyone. We're Blue Sarah's Telehealth Radio Show, and we're back on the air tonight to help promote a special week, Telehealth Awareness Week, September 18th through the 24th. To help us kick it off, our first guest tonight has been very generous with his time, Dr. Joe Caveda, who is the chair of the board at American Telemedicine Association. ATA is working to change the way the world thinks about healthcare. They're committed to ensuring that everyone has access to safe, affordable, and effective care when and where they need it, enabling the system to do better for more people. The ATA group represents a broad and inclusive member network of technology solution providers and payers, as well as partner organizations and alliances. Dr. Caveda is a professor of dermatology at Harvard Medical School, author, editor, advisor, and telehealth evangelist, with a focus on advancing the adoption of telehealth and virtual care technologies at the national level. Please say hello to Dr. Joe Caveda.
Dr. Caveda, it's great to have you back on the radio show tonight.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be here. It feels like very familiar and very exciting to be with you to talk about Telehealth Awareness Week.
Great. You know, my first question is sort of broad, but, you know, we've come such a long way with telehealth. How close are we to delivering a hybrid care delivery system that includes in-person and virtual care across the country?
I'm reminded of the science fiction writer William Gibson and his quote, which was that the future is here. It's just not evenly distributed. So if you look at mental health, behavioral health, we're going like gangbusters. 80, 90% of behavioral health now by telehealth. Everything else is tiptoeing into the water, and maybe we can talk about why that is, but I think we have a long way to go. I'm optimistic. I've been at this almost three decades, but I also see a future where we don't talk about two channel. It just is. So we're somewhere in the middle, but again, I think we've made a lot of progress in the last couple of years, and I see progress happening right now.
And I think there's also some potential to utilize telehealth as we're seeing it moving forward into kind of its next evolution, is really to solve some of the workforce challenges as well, where we know we've had some people resign, and how is that affecting care across the continuum? What are your thoughts on how telehealth can be used to address even workforce challenges?
Well, it's interesting you asked. We have now a cadre of mostly young physicians, honestly, mostly women. Maybe they have young children. Maybe they want flexible lifestyle. But they're what I call the Uber drivers of telehealth. They sign up with various services and deliver care, and they can make a living doing that nowadays. And at their own pace and on their own time. They might sign up Thursday afternoons from 2 o'clock till 6 p.m. to do consults for Teladoc or Amwell or what have you. So that's real. It's happening. It's still a minority, of course, and most people still have a face-to-face practice, but there are people out there who are doing a virtual-only practice and doing it successfully.
I appreciate that question, Michelle. That's such a good question. And I know Telehealth Awareness Week is next week, and ATA's putting on some great events for next week. I saw a Red Sox game on Sunday. I saw some virtual presentations daily happening in person at the Hyatt Regency in Boston on the 19th through the 21st. There were 33 different speakers presenting at the Telehealth Awareness Week. So what can you tell us? What can we expect, Dr. Caveda?
Well, it's just been such an exciting thing to reproduce. We did our first one last year, and the excitement just has grown. So we have over 50 endorsing partners, patient organizations, medical societies, nonprofits who are lending their voice to support telehealth awareness. We also have more than 65 policy champions from the state and federal governments who are consistently continuing to support this activity. And there's a proclamation that will be signed by both parties in the House and Senate. Imagine that, agreeing on something. So ATA is really hitting out of the park. We have our special interest groups hosting 16 webinars during the week on a range of topics, from hybrid experience to telerehab to home testing, use cases, global telehealth, and the list goes on and on. So there's a lot of content. You can see it all at www.telehealthawareness.org. That's a mouthful, but and I think from the the ATA website, you can get there as well.
I think it'll be a great week. I'm interested to know, what's the Red Sox game that's happening during Telehealth Awareness Week?
I don't know a lot about that one. I sadly tuned out about the end of July on our team this year because I was a little bit embarrassed by them. But so I don't have a lot of detail on that one.
No, I saw it. It playing the Kansas City Royals Sunday afternoon. It just looked like a nice little kickoff event for people who wanted to join in. And what a better way to, you know, start the week off and get some camaraderie going and have some funny stories to tell. So I think it looks like you guys are prepared for this week, and there's a lot going on, and you've got a lot of people supporting it, and it should be a great week. So you definitely tune into
Telehealth Awareness, all one string.
Telehealthawareness.org. Got it.
That's a great website for folks. If you are in even just the week itself, if you're in telehealth now and you want to learn some more things, as you said, there's a lot of great speakers, but then if you aren't, or even if you're part of the public that might be utilizing telehealth or you're interested in it, it's a great place to go and find information and learn more about the industry. Maybe it's something you're interested in getting into as part of your next move in your career.
Yeah. So Dr. Gaveta, let's switch this around. What do you feel the patient's enthusiasm around virtual care has been? Are they receiving it positively? Is it increasing? I know quality, access, and convenience are the three things that you want to base your care around. How are Medicare beneficiaries responding to virtual care?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because people ask me all the time, well, what about older folks, right? Are we creating a care delivery model that favors millennials and digital natives and whatnot? And the Office of the Inspector General just released a report, 28 million Medicare beneficiaries used telehealth during the first year of the pandemic, which of course was a dramatic increase from previous years. But more importantly, they were very enthusiastic about this mode of care. It also helps us cross the digital divide going into urban, Hispanic populations, et cetera. So the report was very positive. It was just released. It's a win-win for everybody. And again, most importantly, that the older demographic was embracing this mode of care with enthusiasm.
I know everyone's concerned about creating, you know, a digital divide when it comes to virtual care and telehealth. And certainly we didn't even realize that. So part of the benefit, I think, of COVID was that we sort of saw that the incredible increase of usage of telehealth. But then we also got to get a test case there of, okay, what are all the challenges that we now have when we have that level of usage of telehealth and trying to avoid, you know, creating an inequity of care, as you mentioned, with elderly folks and even with folks that may not have the technology. But I've seen some really exciting educational programs around teaching and partnering with Center for Aging and things like that to help organizations like that to help them help folks understand how to use the technology. And, you know, these phones and individual devices are getting more and more advanced. At some point, I'm going to need to be taught how to use these things. So utilizing them, you know, but for getting recipes and FaceTiming with family. So things that they might want to do. And then also that helps them be able to better connect with their healthcare providers as well.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to make the comment about video calls with your relatives. It eases you into video calls with your doctor. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you think big tech companies will make their systems work in healthcare? Do you see that growing?
I do. It's interesting. And we could do a whole nother show on that alone.
Yes,
so I'll try to be succinct. But I think the fun comparison maybe these days is Apple and Amazon. People tend to bunch these, what they call like Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google. I mean, they're very different. They're just big. They're all big. Mm-hmm. So if we look at what Amazon is doing with the acquisition of One Medical, I think they're really going to I really do think they're going to reinvent primary care, make it, as you said earlier, Michelle, two-channel, make it incredibly convenient. Think about the convenience of buying stuff on Amazon and what it would be like if your healthcare experience was like that. So I have a great degree of excitement on the potential of what Amazon is doing. Apple, on the other hand, is very much on the, of course, the device side and tiptoeing around various things. They kind of don't want to be a medical device, but device rather, but they might have to be. So we'll see how they succeed as well. Those are just two interesting, fun examples, but both of them leaning in heavily to the space. And I think for the, in general, for the betterment of healthcare delivery.
I think that's super interesting. I'm more of a skeptic on the Amazon side, I think, than you are, but I think we've seen a lot of big tech companies try to come in and change healthcare or kind of take on healthcare. But we'll see. The thing about Amazon that's different than the others is they're just great at logistics. And
they are. And they're great at customer service, which we lack right now in healthcare delivery on the traditional side. And so part of my response is I admit emotional in the sense that I want them to succeed. I want our patients to have such a much better experience than we give them now.
Absolutely. And I do think that we've talked about it in other forums that these personal devices that people are utilizing, whether it be an Apple Watch or a Fitbit or whatever other type, Google, their watches, et cetera, they are going to get even more advanced and they are going to have sensors in them that, can tell you all sorts of things about yourself. And I don't think that's a bad thing for you to be aware, that you're an AFib. I don't think it's a bad thing that you're aware, your heart rate is really high.
Right. Yeah.
That's a good point, Michelle. I know my father's wearing one of those. I'm not sure what the term is, but he's got something attached to him for a month to watch his heart rhythms.
There
you go. Yep, exactly.
Dr. Gubeda, so back to being a provider, what do you see as some of the challenges on the provider side for telehealth? Are providers favoring the brick and mortar world? Why are they hanging on so tightly to that? And is the federal government supporting telehealth? And will the new telehealth reimbursement laws become permanent prior to PHE being lifted? I know you're a big advocate for the 1834M bill, where you can only receive telehealth if you live in a health profession shortage area. Can you talk about this a little bit for us?
Sure. There are lots of good opportunities to chat there. I will say that 1834M is an old legislative vehicle that went through in the 90s that we're trying to overturn, just for the listeners.
Yes. Yeah.
But two things to say on the provider side and the top line headline is not enough adoption, more reticence than we'd like. But for logical reasons, everyone pretty much reacts to the world for their own logical reasons. And the two things that are holding providers back are, and you touched on them, reimbursement uncertainty. So we right now have it in law that 151 days beyond when the public health emergency sunsets, there will be these reimbursements. But beyond that, we don't know. There was another law passed in July in the House of Representatives that extends everything for 2 years. So we're spending a lot of time this fall. ATA is that spending a lot of time trying to push that legislation through the Senate, given all of the priorities that they have in the short time that they're in session. So we'll see how that goes. But reimbursement uncertainty is a big one. And then just it's the comfort level and the we don't have to think hard about the workflow of bringing someone in the office. You add a second channel, different workflow, different all kinds of things. Staffing is different. So it's a bit of a brain cramp for people. And now that we can easily have people back in the office, it's just natural that doctors are busy. We're overloaded. So don't think too hard. Bring everyone in the office. And so those are two challenges that we face in the telehealth world. But if we didn't have challenges, we wouldn't have a job. So we're working on it.
that's right. I think that, folks are also, it's a bit like what we had happen with the electronic health record initiative, right? Everybody sort of had a lot going on and it was a big change and some were resistant and some were not. And if they had the ability to go back to paper, they did, right? Until it just wasn't possible anymore. So we may be in that hype cycle here with telehealth.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Well, it's it is going to be some work, and you know, like you said, I think we're halfway through it. Thank you for your time tonight, Dr. Cabrera. If you are interested in attending this year's TAW, Telehealth Awareness Week events conference in Boston, September 18th through the 24th, you can register at telehealthawareness.org and learn more about these events being offered by American Telemedicine Association. Thank you for being with us tonight, Dr. Cabrera.
Always a pleasure, and look forward to future shows with you guys.
Thank you so much for being here. It's always a lot of fun having you.
This is Friends with Benefits on WATD 95.9 FM. We'll be right back.